If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll be reading from there here in just a moment. And I would really like you to ask you to dial in. We've got about three sets of scriptures, really four that we're going to look at. But the reason I do that is because at the end of the lesson, I'm going to offer a challenge. And my belief is, my perception is, that if you really dial into the lesson, the challenge won't be much of a challenge. You'll feel compelled to do it at the end of a lesson. It'll come naturally. Chris gave Jolie and I the opportunity here a couple of years ago to go on a trip with the youth group. And it was then that I found out that Chris was the guy that Sunset needed, because anything that could have happened on that trip happened, and he handled it beautifully. One of the things that happened, if you remember, we go out, you know, the next morning, and for some reason there's no gas in the vans because somebody had cut the lines, we had no gas. So we think, okay, that certainly won't happen again, but why don't we park the vans around back? This was Chris's idea. Park them adjacent to each other with the gas doors on the inside. Can't happen. Woke up the next morning, they were cut again. Happened twice, no gas. So all kinds of things happened, but one thing that was awesome that happened is we got the opportunity to go on a whitewater rafting trip. Now, on this trip, the rapids were supposed to be like class 3 and some class 4. Well, the area that we went to had gotten record rainfall, and they were actually class 4 and class 5. Now, we find this out when we get there, okay? I've never been whitewater rafting before. I had never been. I've done lots of canoeing, but never whitewater rafting. And I wish I could tell you that I was just, you know, super excited. I was a little nervous at this point, you know, class 3 and class 4 and class 5 rapids. So we get there, and, you know, he's taking us through the whole spiel and putting us in groups and, like, telling us, you know, where we're going to be. And I remember that he told Kara, where she was sitting in the raft, she was going to get thrown out of the raft, that it was just going to happen. So we prayed during the trip that she would not get thrown out of the raft. I was very thankful to have Gabe Hansen right next to me, and so he could paddle fast and, you know, help get us through this stuff. So he's taking us through the instructions and explaining what could happen, and I'm getting more and more nervous, and we go out, we put our helmets on, because we need helmets in this apparently, and our vest, and we get into the raft, and we're getting ready to push off, and of course it starts pouring down rain, like right when we're getting ready to start. So the rapids are so loud, I can't hear anything going on, the rain is coming down. I put my ankles in the water, I can feel the current going over my ankles, and right at the end, the instructor who's at the back of the raft yells something to us. I can't hear it at all because it's so loud. I'm sure it was super important instruction, and we take off and get in the water, and we're gone. Doesn't matter. And let me tell you, those rapids in Class 4 and Class 5, they don't care that you're there, okay? There's no significance to you being there at all. You are gone. And what I noticed was, really all we could do was paddle, and all the instructor could do was really use his canoe to try to keep us in the current, right? Because if you were outside the current, you were going to be in trouble. You know, you were going to flip or get off course or go slow. But if you were in the current, you were going to go from point A to point B a whole lot faster, and it was going to be a whole lot easier if you're in the current. Okay, what I want to talk about tonight is really being in flow, and we're going to explain what that means, but it's being in the flow of your spiritual current. And we'll start by reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. And I forgot to tell you, I'm sorry, I skipped here from verse 7 to verse 11 to connect these two ideas. So to verse 12, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So how am I going to, how are we going to compel you through the Scripture to want to complete this challenge at the end? You know, we have to be compelled, according to this lesson, to be using our spiritual gifts, to be desirous of using our spiritual gifts. And if you look at this, it talks about the different kinds of gifts. It really mentions three things, and what I really believe Paul is trying to do here is say that everything comes from God, okay? So we have work, we have gifts, and we have service. So basically, everything that you can do comes from your Creator. And then the reason I skip down here is because all of these do come from Him, and He makes the point that we're one body. Find it here. Just as a body, through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. What's interesting about the word member is that when we think of the word member, we think of like you're a member of a church or a member of a country club, or, you know, there's the sign there that has the membership. And then we also have the biblical definition of a member, that a member is a limb of the body, right? It's a member, and then Christ is at the head. What's really interesting is the word member has the same definition, exactly the same definition, whether you're talking about the body or the head. And we get this concept from Scripture. So to be a member of the body, or just to be a member of something, means that you are a part of the whole. Okay? So we've all been given these spiritual gifts that are from God. And really, if you want to be in the spiritual current, we're experiencing technical difficulties. Next slide. Uh-oh. While he's looking for that, so to be a member means that you are greater, you get it? Means that you are greater than anything that you could be on your own, anything that you could be by yourself. And so really to be in the spiritual current means that, there we go, you're a part of something that's larger than yourself. And whenever I come to the end of my life, I don't want to have this life where I tried to do everything on my own. And as a Christian, we really can't do that. We know from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 10 and verse 9, that the work of two men is greater than the work of one. And it's exponential, right? It's not that one guy has a value of one and two guys have a value of two. It's exponential. The more of us that work together, the more we can accomplish exponentially using our spiritual gifts. Let's everybody turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll be reading from here, here in just a moment. I was looking at this and I was thinking about, I have really two places here that kind of say the same thing. And what really is distinguished here, actually I'll read it and then we'll look at the underlines. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all these things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So we're really to use these gifts that we have received to serve the people around us. There's a book that came out in the 90s. Psychologist actually won a bunch of awards for. He's German. His name is Mahaly, and I cannot tell you his last name. I mean, it is long. But he wrote this book, and the book is called Flow. And it's interesting how secular books, when you read them, they find some new like psychological thing out, or some new thing is revealed, and you think, man, you could have just read Scripture, and you would have really gotten the same concept. But this idea of flow, the way he describes it is you have a graph, and so you can picture like a graph here. And then on this side of the graph, you have the word challenge, and then on the bottom side of the graph, you have the word skill. And so what this Mahali, what this guy is saying is that to be in the flow state means that you're highly challenged within an area, and you're also highly skilled. And the more highly challenged and skilled you become, the more you get into what he calls the flow state. And when you're really way up there in this area, people become 2, 5, 10 times more productive than they would be if they weren't in the flow state. And he kind of describes when you get in those higher levels of it as it's almost kind of like an out-of-body experience. And there's no voodoo behind that. The way he explains it is that the human body can process roughly 110 bits of information. The nervous system can take in through its senses roughly 110 bits of information. If a person is talking to you, they take in roughly 60 bits of information to not only hear it, but to understand and comprehend what that person is saying. That's why if two people try to speak to you at the same time, it's over that threshold, and it's really hard to listen when two people are talking and comprehend at the same time, because it's over that threshold. Well, the way he explains the flow state is that when you're in an area, when you're both highly challenged and highly skilled, your nervous system is processing so much information because it is in the zone of that area that the bits of information that are left over for your consciousness, they're no longer there in reserve. So you're using all of it to be focused and move within this area. And this is kind of a time where hours can seem like minutes if you've ever been in a situation like that. And you're doing something, man, and you are just in the zone. And there's nothing left over for your consciousness. So it's interesting because as a Christian, as I am reading this, instead of looking at challenge and skill, what I really see here from Scripture is you have stewardship and you have spiritual gifts. Okay? That's how I look at it. When we are in alignment with God, and that's really the definition that I give for flow, being in alignment with Him, the spiritual gifts that He has given us, and we're working within those areas, when you're working within that area, but not only working within that area, when you're really being a good steward of what it is He has given you, you get into the spiritual current. Now, you see here that it says we're to use whatever gifts we've received as faithful stewards. Okay? Now, if I'm going to be a good steward of money, I'm going to continue to grow in my knowledge and my ability with money. If I'm going to be a good steward of my time, I'm going to continue to grow in my knowledge and my ability with managing my time. It's the same thing with our spiritual gifts. To be a good steward means you grow, which means you continue to be challenged within that area. So you get to serve others to the next level. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced what you call the flow state, and I've actually talked with some people about this who've kind of explained that they have experienced that, and it's just amazing. You get so much done, and I mean, you like come to hours later, and it's amazing the things that you've accomplished. Well, if you're in alignment with God, if you're working within that area that He has blessed you with, that He's gifted you with, because it just presupposes in many scriptures in the New Testament, we are all given unique spiritual gifts. And if you're in alignment in that area, you continue to work to the next level, man. You continue to grow within that area. What an amazing thing to be able to work within an area, grow within that area, know that you're in alignment with God, and give Him the glory for that. So if you will, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. We'll do a little bit of jumping around here. So this talks about the different areas and really the individuality of being a Christian and being given specific spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1, I wanted to get living sacrifice because this area of Romans chapter 12 is talking about being a living sacrifice and different subsets of what it means to being a living sacrifice. And then when we get down to verse 7, it gets into topically what we're talking about tonight. So starting in verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then going down to verse 7, talking about gifts, if it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So the first thing I wanted to mention is that it says living sacrifice. And I don't know about you, but putting those two words together, that seems like commitment. If ever there were two words that you could put together that meant commitment, that's what those two words mean. And so when I think about being committed to something, there's a couple different ways you can look about it, isn't there? I mean, if you're highly going to be committed to something, that's going to take a lot of energy. It's going to take a lot of resources. It could even be seen as a burden, couldn't it? I think we would all say that it can be. But what we're talking about here is identity. Because not only are we talking about these different spiritual gifts, it's saying if you have been given this gift, then that's what you should do. Let me say it another way. When we got in that raft and we started down the stream, it was a surreal experience. And the guide had said, I'm going to tell you what to do. And I'm like, yes, sir. You just tell me what to do. And he would say, you know, he would tell us to paddle, like, you know, paddle hard, paddle soft, paddle back. He would tell us all kinds of different things to do. And I was completely and totally dialed in to what he was telling me to do. You know, there are times in my life when I think about, like, I need to check my email, or what does this guy need to do, or I need to get milk from the grocery store. Okay, whatever it is, none of that was going through my head, man. It was all about what that guy had to say to me. So let me ask you, when you think of the different gifts you've been given, and if you're hazy on that, we're going to address that. But if you think of the things that as a Christian that God has blessed you with, how much of your identity connects with that gift? Because this is saying if you have been given this gift, then that is what you should be doing. And whenever I think about being a living sacrifice, could you imagine if we were in that raft and we just said, you know what, I'm not going to go with the current. I'm just going to try to go over here, and we'll get there, but I'm going to try to go the way that I want to go. Now, you might get from point A to point B if you do that, but how much harder is it going to be? That seems crazy, doesn't it? Just to try to paddle all over the place, stay out of the current, and try to get where you want to be. It seems crazy, doesn't it? To not be in the current, to go your own way, but still to try to get from point A to point B. It seems crazy. But we do it. You know, there's lots of things that Satan will try to say to us are going to please us or make us happy. There's different directions that we try to go in because we think those are the things that are going to make us happy, when all we really need to do is be in alignment with what it is that God wants for our lives. And so to that I say, if you're going to be in the spiritual current, you're going to have great clarity of identity. Boy, the more you live within God's will for the acts of service, for what He's blessed you with to serve with, the clarity is amazing because you have a focus and you're just going from point A to point B. So With that being said, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And Ecclesiastes, and I just had a total loss of where this is. Maybe it's chapter 9. I'm not going to say it because I don't exactly remember what the chapter and verse is. So if we go to what are my spiritual gifts, you may be asking that, or maybe you want some more clarity yourself on what your spiritual gifts are. These are just some different ideas that I have used in the past, and they're in order of importance from least to most important. But here's some things you can do. The first is, I've done lots of different personality tests. I'm sure you have too. There is one, you can just Google something called 16 personalities. And it is very insightful. And maybe it'll enlighten you a little bit more as to what your gifts really are, what your personality type is, and in the natural area that you tend to go to. 16 personalities. The second is, identify areas you're critical of. This is what I mean. If in church you say, man, that's ridiculous. Like, that could be done better, okay? Or if in life you say, I can't believe they did that way. You know, this could be done better. Then chances are you are seeing something that nobody else sees, and God is calling you to work within that area. I got you on that one, okay? So maybe he's calling you to work within that area if you're being critical. Whoops, I think I broke it. There we go. Okay. The fourth here is, I think what it seems like might be being said is, know what your spiritual gifts are and then go. And that's not at all what I'm trying to say. What I'm really trying to say is go and then know if you don't know what they are. We really need to pray and ask for God's guidance and then just go. And then through the experiences we have, allow God to reveal to us what those areas that we have been gifted in are. So I've got a challenge for you for this week, and I think it'll really be a simple challenge if you are working within these areas. Okay, the first part of us tonight, pray and just make a list. Maybe some of you know where your gifts lie, but just make a list of the top three gifts that you feel that you have. And even if you don't know, just write a list of three areas where you feel like maybe you're talented or that you've been gifted in. Number two, beside each talent, write a corresponding action. Okay? Something that you are going to do within that area, and I'll add to that, make sure it's something that you're challenged in. Because if you're not challenged, it's kind of like talking about the flow state, it probably won't juice you that much to get it done. So make it some kind of a challenge for that area. Third, this work week, complete all three. Just leave that open to yourself, but decide, okay, this is the day I can do this, this is the day I can do this, this is the day I can do this. What this really does is it allows you to see, okay, are the things, you know, can I identify with, or when I look at Scripture and I talk about, you know, these spiritual gifts, do I really see myself in alignment with God? And how did I produce? Like, you know, how did I do this past week? Now, if you do this, my perception is that if you talk to God about it and you work within these areas, that you will find that you grow over this next week. And using your spiritual gifts really is like building up a muscle. You know, you start small and you grow it into something stronger. And I pray that everyone does that this week, grows within that area. So if you're not a Christian, you haven't been given these spiritual gifts. You haven't been blessed with them. So what does it mean to be a Christian and have remission of your sins? Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. If you're ready to do that, if you've read and you know what the Bible says about salvation, if you'd like to learn more about that, or if you need prayers or have any other need, you can come forward while we stand and sing.